Whereabouts were you born, please?
Vác, near Budapest.
And which year was this, please?
1920.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a businessman.
Can you tell me what business he ran?
Leather. Shoe. Everything for the shoe.
Manufacturing?
No. Wholesale.
Did he employ many people?
Not many. The sons worked in the business. And there were two employees.
So were you a rich family or comfortable or what?
Just comfortable.
And did your parents take any interest in the politics of the day?
No. No, not at all.
So they weren't members of political parties or anything like that?
No.
What was their attitude towards religion? Were they believers and practicing?
Yes, we were practicing Jews, yes.
Did you go to school in that town?
Yes.
To what kind of a school?
Well, primary, and they would call it here, not grammar school, but we went to school for 10 years. And afterwards we went to a commercial course.
In the same town?
The same town.
What languages did you speak at home?
German and Hungarian.
What did you consider as your mother tongue?
Well, my mother was a Viennese, and we first learned German at home.
Did you speak fluent Hungarian?
Fluent, yes.
Were there many Jewish people in that town?
About 300 families.
How big was the town?
About 25 to 30,000.
So just really a few Jews?
Yeah.
What were relations like in those days between Jews and non-Jews in that town?
Well, not bad. I was a young girl, and until Hitler, we did not notice very much of anti-Semitism. Not even among the school kids.
Were you educated with non-Jews in the schools?
No. No, we went to Jewish schools.
But did you have non-Jewish friends that you mixed with?
Well, yes, in the parks and on swimming and so on, you knew people.
How much would you have traveled in those days when you were a girl in Hungary? Did you go outside the country much?
Not at all. We traveled sometimes to my grandmother, to Austria, and that was it.
So, did you have some holidays just in Hungary?
If we had holidays, we took it in Hungary, yes.
In what do you remember about the years leading up to the war, were you personally nervous about what was happening in Germany and the rest of Europe?
Well, I had a brother who was 30 months in Russia. And when he returned, he made us nervous about what he saw already there, what the Germans did to the Jews. And he came home and 2 months later Germans invaded Hungary.
So your brother was in the Hungarian army?
Yes. He was in the cleaning commando behind the army with a yellow band on his arm. All the Jews wore this.
What kind of work was he expected to do?
And they were the cleaning commando after the bombing, and he was around Kiev marching towards whatever was the second town they wanted to invade, but came down on the they aimed what was the big the Germans wanted to
Stalingrad,
yes.
So he had to clear up the rubble and so on.
Well, not him himself, but there were a whole brigade.
And they found people hidden.
They found Jewish people hidden in the woods, and they shared their food with them.
Were they just Jews in this cleaning commando?
Or politically not trustworthy.
But was it
possible? They were not handled badly. They were soldiers, but they were not fighting soldiers. They were under the Hungarian army.
So maybe something like what we call the Pioneer Corps in England, in the British Army.
The pioneers are the first ones, no? Who goes?
Well, the Pioneer Corps do things like digging or...
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And how long was your brother in the army? Do you know?
He was there 30 months. And then they changed them over, I don't know. The Germans must have started to lose or something. The Hungarians brought the boys back.
What did he tell you specifically about the fate of the Jews in Russia that he saw? Can you remember?
Well, who was not taken away, who managed to hide, they were hidden in the woods, underground. They were dug into the underground in the woods, the side of the hills and so forth.
Can we go back a bit now to the actual outbreak of war? Did the outbreak of war in 1939 have any impact on your life?
No. No.
Did you think that the war would bypass Hungary?
We always thought that. Like what we were taught about the other countries. So people came, refugees. That can't happen to us. That happened to them.
You saw refugees coming into Hungary?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Many refugees from Czechoslovakia. First from Austria. My mother's relations came from Austria. And they managed to... Well, they could not stay in Hungary, naturally. So they went with fisher boats to Palestine.
Did they stay with your family for some time?
Not very long, just until they arranged this journey.
Did they say anything to you about what was happening in Austria?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What did they tell you?
Well, they told us that the Jews had to leave all their businesses. They had to leave all... They were concentrated into ghettos. And then then they took them away to camps. But the Austrian camps were still family camps. Some of the people are managed to get papers still then to go, whoever they were able to escape. I had family who went to Palestine legally with most of their possessions, because they passed on all the factories to the Germans.
Were they Hungarian or Austrian?
No, Austrian.
What was the attitude of you and your family and your friends towards Admiral Horthy's Hungarian government at the time?
Well, Horthy, he wanted to resist the Germans, but he did not get very far.
But did your family have a favorable or unfavorable attitude towards his government?
Well, that time, I really don't know too much about politics. That time, the word was survival. My family also tried to escape into Budapest, but we did not. My father did not want to go because he had no assets to stay in Budapest. At home, he thought that he still have got his business and the house until I think it was the beginning of May, and
which year?
44, and they took us away from the house. We had to move out to go into the ghetto, what was just on the other side of the road. My parents' house was on the wrong side of the road, so they concentrated us on one side. I think they, because they could surround it better, you know, and they made a circle. And they concentrated the Jews on that other side of the road with a circle.
So your family had proposed to your father to leave the town for Budapest because they had expected this?
Yes, well, everybody who was able to find some sort of a route to get out of the smaller towns, because the deportation started in Hungary already Easter time, what is April. And they just came and they took the people. By us, well, when it came up to further up to Hungary, then they first put the people in ghettos. There were no men there already by that time. My father was just under 60. He was still at home, but he was on guard duty or something.
Like the home guard?
The home guard, yes. And he also was a member of the Jewish committee, because the police and the authorities, they didn't speak to private people anymore. There was a 10-people committee who were called to the police to report what's happening.
They were the mouthpiece of the local Jews?
Yeah.
Do you remember who was on the committee?
Well, I don't really know the other people. I know my father was. And I don't know, they have to go every Sunday or every week, once a week, because there was nobody, the businesses they took away already, there was nobody there to work with.
What do you remember about the taking away of your father's business?
Well, he just locked it up. They did not come and took an inventory. They just were told today that tomorrow we are moving on the other side of the road. You can take with the minimum what you need for sleeping and clothing. And we did not expect that we only will be staying there for about 3 weeks. When they moved us to Monor, it was other side of Budapest, they moved us to a brick factory, yes.
Was this after you'd been in the ghetto?
Yes.
Can I come back to the ghetto and can you tell me what it was like? Was it just an area of the town apportioned to the Jews?
Well, say they divided one house for five families. They gave them a communal kitchen, and they gave them, all depends how many people were in the family, they gave them two rooms or one room. And we were allowed to go out to do the shopping 1 hour a day. We were allowed to go out from the ghetto to buy the necessary, the food.
So there was no wall or barbed wire around it?
No. It's just guards.
What happened to the people whose houses you lived in? What happened to them? Where did they go?
They stayed also there, but they had to give accommodation to the others. They shifted the furniture.
Well, only Jews?
Only Jews.
And the non-Jews, where did
they go? They put it on the other side.
Was it easy for you to get food?
Well, the shops, the market was open, so they allowed us to go out for an hour to buy the vegetables. And we had money still then, sort of thing. We had money to buy.
How hungry did you go at that time?
We did not go hungry. We had flour. My father always used to buy flour in advance, but that was the winter time was very hard to bring the stuff into the towns from the villages. So my father always used to have flour and sugar always. So this type of, we did not go hungry in ghetto itself.
Do you remember the names of the families with whom you shared the premises in the ghetto?
I remember one who we actually shared the flat. It was, they were the printers. The side of the living accommodation, his name was Berger. And the other side, he had a printing factory. He was a printer. And we shared the kitchen and his flat we shared, because... But who else was in the building, I would not remember anymore.
What month did you say that you had to move into the ghetto? Can you remember?
We moved into the ghetto, I guess it was May. Because they took us away already in June.
Who did people blame for this action against the Jews? Did they blame the Hungarian government, or Hitler, or both?
Well, we did not see Germans. The Hungarian police was in town, but actually when they moved us from the ghetto to take us to Monor, they took us on a train. The first time we saw the gendarmerie, what was a very, from hearing in my childhood, I heard that those are very cruel people. They did not act in towns, they acted outside the villages. They had feathers, the cock feathers.
What is the
Tolosh? Yes, that's right.
That's right. How did the guards round the ghetto behave?
Well, we had no trouble with them. We had no trouble at all in the ghetto itself. They came in Sunday morning, the gendarmerie, and said they... In an hour's time, we have to line up with very little belongings, no more than 50 kilos per person. And that was it. We left everything behind.
What was the behavior of the gendarmerie when they came with these orders?
Well, they just gave orders and we went like little lambs. We did not resist. We did not know what was going on. We just went.
Was there any harshness from them?
Not if you behaved. If you did not resist, or they know exactly the numbers, people moved into the houses, moved away from the one side to the other.
Did you see them commit any acts of violence?
No.
What were conditions like on the journey?
But the journey was not very far. I mean, we were taken by train, it was about 2 hours' journey. It was not, as I say, I did not even see no violence in Hungary at all.
How many of you were at home then?
At 3 girls and a parent.
But where was everybody else?
Where was everybody else? Everybody else was already in the camps. Rudi Bácsi was still in Weizen because we went to see him. The hour we went shopping, my brother was in also by the, I don't know what they called them. They wore yellow bands, but they were under the army still.
Were you allowed to take your possessions with you from the ghetto?
Well, we only were allowed 50 kilos, but who can, a young girl, how could carry 50 kilos? We did not know how far we were going. We had to go to the railway station, and we just made bundles for the most necessary things, like a change of underwear and a couple of light clothes. We didn't know what to pack.
How do you spell the place that you were removed to?
We went to Monor, M-O-N-O-R, Monor.
What conditions of accommodation were you put in there?
No accommodation. We were under the sky. There were about 10,000 people there, concentrated.
In a square or street?
Well, in this brick factory. You know, a brick factory needs a lot of space. And that's where we were, under the sky, for a whole week.
What month was this?
It was beginning of June.
Was it hot?
Well, it was hot. There we had the gendarmerie watching us. The conditions were bad, there was not enough water, and we cooked on 2 bricks, like camping. And we burned money because they made raids, the gendarmerie made raids, so if they found money or gold. So the posters went there, there's going to be a raid in an hour. And we were too scared to keep the money, so we burned it. Boiled water for coffee.
So these were just thousands of Jewish people in the brick factory?
Yeah, yeah.
Any other non-Jews there?
Not as far as I know, no.
Had anything been told to you at this stage as to what was going to happen to you?
No. They just went along with posters if something was going on, like there's going to be a raid, or you have to report this, have you possessed this, or have you possessed this, you have to report it. But any other way, they left us alone. They did not bring in milk or water or anything. Just have to fight for yourself.
Did you make any guesses as to what was going to happen to you?
Well, we knew that we were going to be deported, but we did not know where we were going to. They said they were going to take us to work, what was quite satisfactory because we were not afraid of work. Anyway, my family wasn't.
Did you assume that you would be going to Germany?
No, that we did not think, because Germany, there were no Jews, and we did not know that they needed, that time they used Russian prisoner of war workmen there.
Was it possible to escape from the brick factory, or did you hear of anybody who tried to get out?
Well, to escape it was very dangerous, because it was surrounded with this gendarmerie, yes? And when we boarded, they took away about 3,000 people each day. When the trains managed to come back, then they loaded up 3,000 people, about 80 people, to a horse track, or whatever they called them. And when we were loading into this, a soldier offered to, he will take us up to Budapest, but we would not leave the parents.
He offered to let you escape?
Yes.
Why did he do that?
Well, some people were sorry for us. Some people were sorry for us, but we would not leave the parents. He could not help the parents. And we were too scared as well. We did not know what a young soldier would do to three young girls.
When they were taking the batches away of 3,000, was it done in a brutal way or not?
No, they just lined us up. They counted us into the wagons, and they locked the wagon.
What were these wagons exactly? Can you describe them?
Well, they were these horse tracks, is it, or they called them? You see them, they transport cattle or whatever with tiny little windows with bars on it. And there was one bucket put in there.
Were your family together?
Yes, we were together, yes.
What were conditions like on the journey?
Well, we were sitting on the floor. There was no possibility to lay down. And we're sitting and feeding ourselves what we had in our bundles.
Did you have enough to eat and drink?
Well, we were not really interested, believe me, in these conditions. We were not interested the train stopped once. They allowed us to fetch water from, that was in Krakow already, is what already in Poland. The train did not stop in Hungary at all. And they gave us, I think, bread, they thrown in bread in the wagon.
Was it a very slow journey?
Well, the trains were very fast, if I remember, if I think of it. I don't know how far Auschwitz is from say, Budapest. But we traveled 2.5 days.
So this was still summer?
Yeah.